Hello and welcome to Being Mindful. We are so glad to have you with us today. It's Pastor Deji and Maxine once again. Welcome. Today, good afternoon, whatever time it is for you, we are going to be talking about what is mental health. And for those of you that are joining us for the very first time, Being Mindful focuses on the things that pertain to us as Christians, be it politics, be it mental health, be it wellness, be it employment, be it family, be it our community, be it our church, whatever it may well be, you are a part of this show and we welcome you. We want you to be free with any comments you want to make. You're more than welcome to contact us through our platforms, various platforms we have at PHBC London, which you can find us on Instagram and the Twitter, I believe, and Facebook. And if you have the app, the PHBC app, you can tap on the button which will take you straight through to the studio, and you can make a comment, you can ask for prayer, you can ask for, you know, you may have a question, whatever it may well be. So please do get in touch. So I'm going to welcome my co-host, Deji. How are you?
I am, thank you, Maxine. I am tired. It's been a long week.
Yeah.
It's been a really long week. And it feels like, you know, it feels like a very long week.
Yeah.
So I'm tired, but I am grateful at the same time.
Good. Fantastic. Yeah. You look well.
Thank you. Oh, you look really well.
Yes.
Thank you. Yes.
And so today's topic.
Before we get to today's topic, how are you?
I'm good. I feel excited as usual. You know, whenever we get into talking about different things on this show, but within myself, I feel very blessed.
Good. There's a lot that's been going on. There's all sorts of stuff in all sorts of directions.
Yes.
Yeah. What are we talking about today?
So today we're talking about what is mental health. We're going to look at that in different aspects. Obviously, you know, we know the times we've been in. COVID, Brexit, new government, the passing of the Queen. Elizabeth II, cost of living. There's a lot going on. We'll be looking at it. We'll have some guests in, hopefully. It's going to be fantastic. Yes. You want to talk about the guests coming in?
Well, I mean, as you and I were talking about the show and how we're developing the show, looking at how we will have a regular health slot.
Yes.
We talked about that. So we have a couple of doctors lined up. We've got somebody else in who will be coming in the next couple of weeks to talk about mental health.
Brilliant.
Which will be great. But I think today what we're going to do is just try and, I suppose, discuss and just, just open that topic and see what sorts of questions, what sorts of comments we get from the listeners. I think that'd be a good thing, particularly in the light of the fact that we've got this guest coming in who's a mental health professional,
absolutely,
as it were.
And I think, you know, as we always do, we always sort of look at what the Bible says.
Of course.
And so, yes, we welcome the comments, scriptures, songs. You know, as we were just sitting here preparing to come on, and the music was playing in the background, and I said, "Oh my gosh, I haven't heard this song for a long time." But it, you know, as I listened, I just thought about the calming effect of the song, of the words, of the music. Yes. So again, it's about, you know, improving and enhancing your mental health.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
what do you want to start off with?
The question is this. As you know, 1991, I started on my mental health journey, my you know, counseling and psychotherapy, my journey into understanding and working in that field. And over the years, there was a little bit of whenever I said to Christians, they would say, "Oh, what do you do?" And I tell them, "Oh, I work in HR." Then I worked in HR. I work in HR. You know, we're going back 1991, 92. I work in HR, but I'm doing this course. You know, and they say, "Oh, what's that about?" "Oh, counseling and psychotherapy." And straight away on their faces, you can see the defense. You can see the, you know, psychotherapy. I mean, you know, you're dabbling now. You know, okay. So let's what do you have to say?
Well,
to Christians that say, you know what, that's psychotherapy stuff. We shouldn't even be going there.
You know, it's quite interesting. I think initially, maybe in my younger days, I possibly had the same thought because of lack of understanding. Mm. Now that I do what I do, and not even just that, the fact that, you know, as a human being, as a person living in this world, in this time, it's not something that we should shun. Mm. There shouldn't be a stigma attached to it, because the point is, mental health affects us all. And so we need people who, like yourselves, who have been trained, who have the knowledge, who have the experience and the understanding of how to, if I can put it this way, unravel what's going on in our minds, in our lives. So it should be embraced. Level. Emotionally, I mean, mental health covers so many aspects of our lives. Obviously, there is, as you said, emotional. There's financial, there's economic, there's, family related, there's social, there's there is so many different areas. And if we all have moments of highs and lows, life is life at the end of the day.
Well, and even Jesus had his lows.
Absolutely, absolutely. And yet still, we need to embrace it, and talking is part of that, because that then allows you as the expert to understand where I may be or the person may be, and then be able to guide them through their experiences.
Okay. I mean, I thought that was a really lovely word that you used there, pointing to me as you spoke and saying expert. I need to record this show and play that for my wife when we're having an argument. She needs to realize somebody has said, I am the expert. I think she's listening actually to the show. I am actually the expert, as it were. So thank you so much for that endorsement.
Well, my understanding is that both of you are experts. So let me just put the one in there. Okay. I'm going to stand up for Sumi here. Both of you are experts.
Well, Hallelujah. Okay, let's move on from there. So I think you're absolutely right in looking at this and saying it is critical that we explore, our minds, our hearts, our emotions, what we're thinking, what we're feeling. Mm-hmm. A moment ago, I said that even Jesus had his lows, his low points. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think scripture, there are many examples of many people who had their low points, even reading the Psalms. You're reading the psalm, my Lord, my God, Psalm 48, I think it is. Why hast thou forsaken me? It's like, whoa, what was going on for David?
Yeah. Intense, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, Some of those psalms are really intense.
Yes.
Really intense. He's gone home now to be with the Lord, but John Paul Jackson, an amazing man of God who's gone home now to be with the Lord. But he spoke about when those times come, when there's low moments. I think he called it the dark night of the soul or something. And I thought, my gosh. But there are times when there is that extreme, moment of, and you know what? It's a bit like an overload.
Yes.
Hence why I say we need psychotherapists. We need counseling. We need therapeutic support, because it will help. It can help.
Yes.
If we allow it to do so.
In getting through those moments, When we talk about mental health issues, what sorts of things, what sorts of, in your experience, from your perspective, what sorts of things are we talking about here? What are we looking at?
So, as I said before, there are so many elements that can impact on our mental health. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so anxiety and overly anxious about something. It could be the loss of a loved one can have an impact and, cause some stress level in terms of loss, bereavement, grief. People often speak about the importance of going through the grief process, mm-hmm. the bereavement process. Mm-hmm. You know, somebody who may be having long-term conditions, diabetes, cancer, sickle cell. Mm-hmm. You know, there's been so much emphasis on cancer, so much emphasis on diabetes, but there's a lot going on for people of color who are dealing with sickle cell.
And I think you're absolutely right. I'm really glad that you touched on medical conditions, mm-hmm. because oftentimes when we think about someone going through a medical condition, the first thing we think about is when we say, how are you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, for example, someone says to you, I've got cancer. And you say to the person, how are you?
Mm-hmm.
There is a natural propensity, either in how we say the how are you, or how they respond to the how are you, to start talking about the medical, the physiological.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sleeping better. The medication's helping. I saw my doctor. I've got an appointment tomorrow.
Yeah.
The tests, I'm awaiting test results. Oh, the result was quite good.
Mm.
Or I'm not quite sure what I'm going to do now. You know, not the how are you. I'm actually feeling depressed today.
Yes.
Today is a dark day for me.
Yes.
We very often do not think about the emotional and the psychological aspect of the how are you question.
Yes, yes, yes. And for regardless of whatever the situation may be, it's important that we have those times when we can say, you know what, today I'm not feeling it. Today I'm feeling low. Today I'm feeling anxious. Yeah. You know, and not feel guilty to say that, because actually in saying that, that puts the other person in a place or a position of, you know what, I hear you, or let me hug you. Sometimes, you know what, it's just a matter of embracing somebody. You know, there, you know, divorce, you know, can have a massive impact. Again, obviously, childhood abuse. There are so many different things. Trauma. We know these things can have a real...
Job loss.
Joblessness.
Yes.
You know,
Not being
redundant. To, mm-hmm. Not just, in a sense of looking for a job, but having a job and suddenly finding yourself redundant.
Mm. And even you know, today, earlier today, I was watching the news, and they were talking about the possibility of nurses going on strike. And I thought, nurses going on strike, what's the implication of that? And obviously, they're being a little bit responsible with it and saying those for whom, you know, critical care, those for whom if the nurses leave could result in, adversity in their care or loss of life, those people will stay. But then they then interviewed this lady, and she's a nurse, and she said, you know, I am really struggling to pay my bills.
Wow.
And she said she's done the calculations that it would be better for her to work part-time and claim benefit than to remain full-time. But that would have an implication on her career and all sorts of other things.
Mm.
And these are the tough calls that people are having to make.
Yeah.
But and you know, what's the implication? Mm-hmm. What's the implication on those who now are beginning to use the food bank? What's the implication on those who have to make a decision whether to heat the home or to eat some food?
You know, whenever I think about nurses, doctors, nurses in particular, we've had 3 years.
Mm.
The COVID, they worked non-stop.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even really comprehend the level, the intensity, the impact that would have had, that they had to go into the hospitals, on those wards, touch those people, walk, you know, seriously, I can't even, and then go home if they went home. Some didn't go home. They worked around the clock. They stayed on site.
Because some of their colleagues weren't available.
Absolutely.
Or were sick.
Absolutely. Or had passed away.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, you know, okay, let's not get political here, but would I think bad of them for going on strike? No. Absolutely not.
No.
Because when did they get that moment of, well, how are you doing mentally? How are you? What's your mental health like? You know, if they exhibited any form of fatigue, stress, you know, sorrowful, you know, whatever it may well be, mm-hmm. what support is there, was there for them?
For them. Mm-hmm.
The impact mm-hmm. on their family mm-hmm. doesn't mm-hmm. ever matter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe they have small children. Maybe they have an elderly a parent, family member and so forth. So there's a lot when you talk about mental health. It's not just, you know, something that's, that should be looked upon as, oh, yeah, just mental health and this sort of discarded. It needs to be really looked into. And the experts, I keep referring to the experts because there's a lot that, you know, you are also taking on having gone through the same 3 years, mm-hmm. COVID and so mm-hmm. forth. Yeah.
If you're just joining us, or perhaps you've been on the show from the beginning, you're listening to Being Mindful here on PHBC Radio. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear from you. If you're using the PHBC Radio app, nice and easy, right there in the app, you can click tap on the link in the app that says contact the studio, and you can send us a message directly here. We will either read out your message or respond to your message live on the show today. Alternatively, you can reach us via any of our social media handles at PHBC London. We're going to take a little music break, as is our custom on the show. We always play a little jazz piece. And this particular one, this very first piece, is Tim Bowman, one of my favorite jazz artists, really gifted guy, Tim Bowman. And this piece is called Gethsemane. Enjoy. Thank you. welcome back. You've just been listening to Gethsemane by the very gifted and talented Tim Bowman, one of the premier gospel jazz guitarists on the planet today. His dad is actually quite a gifted jazz musician as well, but you know, we'll hear, and I think we've played some music from his dad in previous shows. So welcome back. You're listening to Being Mindful here on PHBC Radio, where we explore issues pertaining to our quality of life as Christians, whether that be emotional, physical, financial, parental, political. We discuss all sorts of issues here. Today we're talking, just bringing a little bit of a general overview, general introduction to the issue of mental health. What does that mean for us as Christians? Why should we be discussing mental health? And in some regards, it's a precursor to future shows where we will have a regular health slot and we will bring a professional in to discuss what they do. On the show, as always, you're listening with me, Deji, and my co-host, Maxine. So, Maxine, talk to us. Where are we on this subject of mental health?
You know, you mentioned about Jesus being impacted also. And so I thought about mental health is going to impact every single one of us. So I want to just read a scripture, Philippians 4, verse 13, from the ESV, English Standard Version. And it says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. I believe the King James Version says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And this is not to say that we don't, or will not, I should say, have any issues or any matters that arise that may cause us stress or that may cause us some kind of discomfort. But what it does say is, in God, in Christ, we can make it through. In Christ, we can go beyond. It's not the end. You know, we know that there are so many things happening today where some people are to the point of thinking, contemplating suicide because they cannot see a way forward. They, you know, for them, it's the end.
Yes.
And they are very much becoming burdened, overweighed, weighed down. So this scripture, Philippians 4, verse 13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me, not by yourself. So again, you as an expert, and you know, taking counseling and therapeutic support, it can help you.
Yes,
it can help you. So don't, you know, shun that. Don't think it's not going to help. But first and foremost, cry out to God. God, I need your help.
And it's so interesting because just before you read that, in fact, before we went to the break, I was thinking about examples of people who displayed what we could call or possibly describe as mental health crises or had mental health episodes, low mood episodes, yep. etc.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously I talked about Jesus and there was a period, people thinking, Jesus, low mood? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm.
Go and read Matthew.
Mm-hmm.
You know, after John the Baptist, his cousin had been killed.
Yeah.
John the Baptist was beheaded. It was a horrible, horrible, terrible way to die.
Mm-hmm.
Most undignifying.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Jesus heard that John had paid the ultimate sacrifice. Scripture tells us, what did he do? He cut himself off. He was like, I need a time out here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he probably did the T signal. Mm-hmm. You know, who knows? I wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and said to the guys, nah, leave me, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he went off, Scripture says, and he went off. He climbed a hill and he was there by himself.
Mm-hmm.
And the people heard what had happened.
Right.
And they came to him.
Mm.
I'll come back to that in a moment.
Mm.
But just before we went to the break and just before you read that, the person that did come to my mind was Elijah.
Right. Oh, my gosh.
You know, that's, if you so talk about mental health and scripture, mental health and Christianity, mental health in the Bible,
yes.
It's very difficult to make a sound case or talk about it competently and confidently without talking about Elijah's experience.
Yes.
And for those who don't know, Elijah, great, great, great prophet, very anointed, gifted, powerful. God worked all sorts of miracles through him.
Yep.
Came against, or well, he didn't. He came up against opposition.
Mm-hmm.
in the form of this person, mm-hmm. Jezebel, mm-hmm. who, I mean, you know, Jezebel wanted him ruined. Mm-hmm. She wanted him to become nothing.
Yeah.
And it was the constant onslaught of the threat.
Yes.
She hadn't actually, if you think about it, hadn't actually done anything.
Yep, it's just the voice.
It was the threat
of
harm that caused him to spiral to the point that he ran, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah. But what's so interesting, and I concur with you 100%, you know, people, Elijah was, you know, a powerful man of God.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
God's hand was on him. God used him
tremendously.
But he was a man.
Mm.
He was a human being. Yeah. And, you know, when, you know, we know that he done that, well, carried out rather, God's word, God's will, I should say, on the Mount of Carmel. But when he came down from that, he came down as a man.
Yes.
And it must have hit him. Oh my God, I just killed 400.
450 prophets.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I slain them. Yes. He did it, you know.
Yes.
You know, and now the queen, you know, of the area, the queen is saying, right, I'm coming after you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Sometimes life does that. Sometimes it can feel like life is coming after you. And that's where we have to say, God, help me. I can't do this on my own. The fact that people are considering, weighing up, do I eat or do I heat my home? Call upon God. The fact that people are saying out of their mouths, I'm fearful. They are scared.
Mm.
Nobody can pay those bills, you know. Let's just go there first and foremost, shall we?
Yes.
Because unless you're on whatever it is amount per year,
it's gonna be a very
nobody apart from those, you know
particular,
that bracket,
particular income bracket.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, is going to be able to pay those bills.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's not just, you know, okay, it's your electricity, everything is increasing, food is increasing.
Yes.
But you have to eat. So to say, well, do I decide to eat or to heat? Now, as for me and my house, I'm eating.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, I have no intention of starving myself.
Absolutely.
And absolutely no intention of starving my child either.
Mm-hmm.
So the point is, can I do more? Where's the money going to come from?
Mm.
Is there anything more I can do? No. Because no matter how much I set aside, it's never going to be enough, because the amount that they're talking about is going to be far higher than they even predicted. Yes, they've put a bracket. But what I'm saying is, call upon God, because this is where God says, I will step in.
You see, and is that not exactly what Elijah did? Yes, he ran.
That's what I'm saying.
Your theology is sound. I get that. Okay, fine. He ran. He was like, oh my gosh, I'm scared. Oh, she gonna kill me. Okay, different accent, but you know what
it's
I mean.
It's all good.
Mm-hmm. And he ran,
mm-hmm.
sat under this juniper tree.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
That was his corner.
Mm-hmm.
And some of us, our juniper tree
mm-hmm.
is our mobile phone.
Yes.
Some of us, our juniper tree is Netflix.
Okay, yeah.
Some
okay.
of us, our juniper tree is WhatsApp or Facebook.
Yeah.
We run.
Or the telephone.
That's what I'm,
We
run.
Mm-hmm.
And we get somewhere for a minute, for a bit.
Mm.
And I think it's important to say, that's okay.
Yeah.
That's human to do.
Yeah, for real.
That is human to do.
Mm-hmm.
He ran. He hid himself under this tree, sat under this tree.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can only picture him there, curled up, fetal position, probably rocking back and forth, you know, thinking, oh, where is God? But in that moment, after he, as it were, came to himself in that place, he realized how isolated he was.
Mm.
Nobody could help him. Nothing could help him.
Mm-hmm.
He had no choice but to talk
to God. Call upon God.
Invariably, you know, the beginning part of that conversation was a bit of a complaint, a grumble.
Mm-hmm.
Again,
mm-hmm.
that is human to do.
Yes, yes.
Scripture tells us that the Lord is touched with the feeling of our infirmities.
Yeah.
You know, people, those of you listening, you think, you know, I was talking to somebody the other day who said, and this woman is going through terrible, terrible things, emotional, psychological, all sorts of levels of difficulty and challenge. And she said to me, oh, I don't feel like a good Christian. I said, okay, why do you say? In my mind, I'm thinking, what, have you been stealing some stuff? You've been selling some drugs? You've been, you know, what have you been doing that you don't feel like a good Christian? She says, I haven't been praying as long as I usually do. And, you know, I would start praying and I would just praise God for who he is, et cetera, et cetera. And then I'd stop and I'd start crying. And in my heart, I'm like, excuse me, that you need a pat on the back. You know, if you can even get to the place of just blessing his name and just saying, Lord, I recognize who you are. I acknowledge you as God.
Amen.
You know, his
prayer, he understands.
What he wants from us isn't our shopping list.
No, absolutely.
He wants our worship.
You know, when Lazarus died, it says he wept. He wept. Why did he weep? Because that was his friend.
Yes.
That was his brother. That was his, he felt for the family. He felt for them. And I believe wholeheartedly that when we say, God, not today, I'm struggling. Lord, I can't do this. Lord, it's too much. Lord, get me out. Lord, rescue me. Lord,
I don't know what to say.
I don't know what to do. Lord, I'm at the end of myself. Lord, help me. Elijah, the battle was in his mind. The war was in his mind. There's the scripture that says, you know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So as Christians, we have to acknowledge there are times when actually there's something else going on beyond us.
Beyond what we see
and
touch. What we see,
and absolutely, And so we need to, I'm not saying it's easy, you know, I'm not saying it was simple. There are times when, okay, you can't, as you said, worship or praise, but you can sigh. You know, even in your silence.
Even in the, yes, I was going to say.
Hannah prayed, but didn't.
Her lips were moving, but nothing came out.
There was no sound, and God heard. You know, a cry, God is in tune with what you're crying about. He understands the sound.
The groanings.
Yeah, so, you know, in this then, this, you know, we are, like I said, you know, we know, we are in a time that we have not been in before. The world, the whole world needs God.
Yes.
The whole world, you mentioned about groaning. The earth is groaning, waiting for the sun to be manifested. The thing is, God is the only answer. Because even if the government does increase this or increase that or whatever they may well be doing, it's still...
It can't be. There's no total solution outside of God.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, you talked about this, and I just really want to refer to that situation that we sometimes find ourselves in where we cannot. It's like, oh, I don't know what to read. I don't know what to pray. I don't know what scriptures to confess. I don't even want to pick up my Bible, let alone open it, let alone turn to, let alone find the scripture, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Do you know what I do? Should I tell you what works for me? I just put music on. I just put worship on. Because there's a thing, spirit, soul, and body, right? My soul might be damaged. My body may be tired, but my spirit is still alive.
Absolutely.
Just my spirit can just play that worship music. Just press play. Just hit it. Just leave it there. Let it soak into your spirit. And cultivate that way. And I think that what then happens through that medium of music and worship, the Spirit of the Lord breaks through, typically into our soul. First.
Yes, so true.
You know, typically it's a mood changing, it's focus changing, it's paradigm changing. Isn't it?
Remember we spoke about communication. This is going way back now, a few weeks back, and we spoke about what is communication.
Yes.
And we touched on sound. We touched on music, we touched on a frequency.
Yes.
There is if the Bible says, you know, be ye not conformed to the world, but be ye what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. So if we sit and listen constantly to the news and constantly hear and take in what they are saying, this is happening, this is happening, this is happening, this is happening, blah, 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 constantly, you can have an overload
of the facts of what has gone wrong, typically.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Okay.
It's the facts around what, you know, they call it news, but it's rarely, I mean, you do get some, you know, but it's rarely good news.
Yeah.
It's usually the facts of what have gone wrong.
Yes. And you mentioned it just now, good news. So when you're putting on the gospel music,
okay,
you're making room, you're creating an opportunity for good news to come in.
To filter in.
And then that good news can dispel the darkness. Nobody's saying we don't go through the highs and the lows. We spoke about that before.
Yeah.
You know, again, going back to Elijah. Elijah was tired. So God sent an angel to give him food. Now, did the angel give him actual food? Did he actually eat that food?
Okay, then.
Where did that food come from?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
so God can provide from the spiritual realm, I'll put it that way, into the natural realm. You said we're three part, spirit, soul, and body.
Mm-hmm.
God knows how to get us through and to get us on the other side. Sometimes we have to go through. It might be a case of actually, I'm not saying, you know, on a negative side, but what can be looked upon as negative can be turned around for your good and to help others as well.
I'm gonna pause you right there because I have a response to that. But before I respond to that, I think what we should do is just take another music break.
Okay.
Let's do that. Let's, because I'm just looking at the time. It's, we're almost 40 minutes into the show. We're gonna take another music break. We'll just listen to another piece of music. This particular one is by a really quite I think up and coming, if I could use that phrase. I say up and coming over the last few years.
Okay.
This is one of London's thriving Pentecostal congregations, the Tab Church in Southeast London, and they put out an album a couple of years ago, which was, in my opinion, absolutely brilliant. And maybe we'll play something from the album itself on another show. But today, this is an EP that they released in 2022. Called the Cry, and so this is Tab Worship with The Cry.
Lift your hands, everybody. Team, begin to lead us as we worship the Lord. Come on.
Able, oh, you're able, God. changes, we cry out to the God who is eternal. We cry out to the only one who's able to deliver, restore, and heal. Come on, church, let me hear you. We cry out to the God who never changes. To the God who is eternal. To the only one. Restore and heal our land. See, we're calling out for you. Got so long for you.
What an awesome song. What an amazing song. We cry out. We cry out. Who are we crying out to? We're crying out to the Lord. We're crying out to the God who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask, think, or even imagine. Welcome back. You know, we want you to contact us. We want you to be engaged with what we're talking about today. So please do contact us on our at PHBC London handles, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or if you have the PHB app, touch that button and come straight through to us on the WhatsApp. Deji, I'm handing it back over to you. That song has just arrested me. I'm sorry. I listened to that song, I just thought that is the appropriate song.
Because
the whole earth is groaning, is crying out. And without God,
we're doomed.
Wow.
Well, just before we went to break, just before we played that piece of music, you know, there was something that you said, Maxine. You said, you talked about how no matter how difficult it is, you know, we should still call out to God, because even, you know, God can turn that situation around. There are things that can happen even in and through and beyond that difficulty, which was perfect for me, as perfect to what was already on my mind, which is the one. And I think we've talked about this scripture on this show. The 100% most known, most recited, most remembered psalm, Psalm 23, verse 4, says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." Full stop.
Yep. Yeah.
I fear no evil because you're with me. Even in that deep, dark valley of death, I don't need to be afraid, because you haven't abandoned me. Lord, you're with me. You're with me. And you know, the truth of it is, in terms of the turnaround, when we read on from there, you know, it says, you know, because you're with me, your rod and staff comfort me. You prepare a table. Listen, even in the valley of the dark, dark valley of the shadow of death, his rod and staff can be the symbols of his presence with us. Even in the valley of the shadow of death, he can prepare a table before us. Even in the valley of the shadow of death, our enemies, those who, you know, the haters, can be the spectators to what God is doing. You know, did you see me pause? I was like, what did I just do? The haters can be the spectators to God's elevator. Okay, okay. So, and even then, even in the valley of the shadow of death, our heads can be anointed with oil.
Amen.
Even in the valley of the shadow of death, our cup can run over.
Amen.
Do you understand what I mean? And it's just as you were saying that, that just hit me. With God, it's that can happen.
These situations that we go through, okay, they're not to destroy us.
Mm-mm.
They're actually to grow us, develop us, mature us, to make us. Jeremiah spoke about going down to the potter's house. And in fact, God sent him down there to go and look and see what was going on in the potter's house. And God showed him a pot being made, being created, being formed. There was a mar in it, yeah? There was a kink in it or whatever. And so it had to be rebuilt again. That's us. Even when we're going through, as you mentioned that scripture in Psalm 23, you know, David, that same David we spoke about, David wrote that scripture. David endured that moment, and then he penned from his experience. He didn't just make it up. He went through. He experienced. It was a lived experience, yeah? And then he wrote that psalm. Psalms 91. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. There's much more we can read from there. But the point is, we have to live. Mental health, mental illness, mental disorders, mental stress, mental whatever, impact, should not stop us from living. It shouldn't be, well, you know, I'm feeling low, I have low mood, anxiety, anxious, depression, but whatever it may will be. So therefore, it
shouldn't define us.
It should not define us. It should not shape us. It should not be the end. Hence why I go back again to find somebody to speak to, find somebody to cry with. Elijah needed someone to cry with. Find somebody who could understand you and have empathy.
The people that came to Jesus came because of empathy.
Yes.
Empathy brought them.
Yes.
And he received it from them after his cousin had been beheaded.
Yeah, wow. Wow.
And it's really critical that we don't go through these things alone.
No, not at all.
Really, really critical.
Because you see, when you go through it on your own, that's when the enemy, the adversary, can bombard your mind. Not only that, though, your mind can actually bombard your own mind.
Yes, sometimes.
Because you could overthink.
Yes.
And
yes.
Constantly be in this place of thinking, it is the end. What am I going to do? How am I going to cope? I can't see a way out. There's always a way out. There's always a way out. Time does not stop. Time continues. There will still be seed time, harvest time. There will still be tomorrow. There will still be daylight. There will still be nighttime. There will still be the evening. So you need to find somebody to speak with. Share. I believe we're in that time. Are we our brother's keeper? Yes, we are.
I pray so.
Amen. I need someone to be my keeper. Please be. When it gets too much, yeah.
Indeed.
Life is life. And so therefore, do not, no matter what it is, you may need someone to just cry with you. Sometimes I do that with people, you know. I don't know what to say to them. I just sit with them. I don't say nothing sometimes. If they cry, I cry with them. If they laugh, I laugh with them. If whatever, I just sit there. Because sometimes it's not even journey. In my words. It's a journey.
It's journeying with them. It's a companion for that journey.
Yeah.
And I think that's the critical thing, is that we're not alone in whatever leg of the journey that we are in.
Yes.
And I think that's the really important thing.
That's good.
When we look at what happened with Jesus, they came and they brought him that companionship. He wasn't alone.
Yes.
And through that, he found his recovery. Before long that they'd come, he started to teach.
Yes.
You know, they did. They made a demand. You know, it's rather like a parent. You know, you've got a cold, you're not feeling well. And then your child says, I'm hungry. What do? You don't say, leave me.
Yeah.
I'm going to lie down. You know, they make a demand. And that routine, the regular, the draw on you pulls you back into community, pulls you back into relationship, pulls you back into communion and fellowship.
Amen.
And from there, we can draw strength.
Amen. Again, I want to say this very quickly as well. If you are a part of a church family, do not neglect that family. Don't neglect that time of fellowship. Sometimes just being in the service, you may not feel like singing, may not feel like raising your hand, may not, you know, not even speaking to anybody. But just being in the atmosphere.
Plug into that atmosphere.
Plug it into the atmosphere. If anyone today listening into the show does not have a church, a family that they belong to, we want to welcome you at PHBC London. Pollard's Hill, Wide Way, I believe it's called. Because why? They're family. Family is key. Are we our brother's keeper? Yes, we are. We are. We have to be. People are going to come to you. Why? Because they see Christ in you. Why? Because they see the light of God on you, in you, shining, beaming from your eyes. We might be wondering, why is this person always talking to me? Because God has sent them to talk to
you. He's a messenger.
To talk to you, to engage with you. So don't think, well, what have I got to give? What? Just be smiley. Just be warm. Just listen. And wait and see what God will do in you and through you.
You know that thing that you just said about even when you're not feeling in the mood, even when you don't, you're like, oh, I don't know if I can stand for the songs. I don't know if I can sing along.
I've just
somebody said to me, how are you? And I said, I don't feel very well. And said, why did you come to church? And I said, because if I was at home, I wouldn't feel very well. I'm at church. I don't feel very well. Don't feel very well at home. Don't feel very well at church. Don't feel very well on my own or don't feel very well in the midst of people. I'd rather option two.
Yeah,
I'd rather not, because the not feeling very well ain't going to change today.
Yes, yes, yes.
Hopefully by tomorrow, I'm trusting God for an improvement in myself. But today isn't going to change.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So I might as well be somewhere where my body ain't changing.
Yeah.
My emotions are shot to bits because I'm just tired and I'm like, Lord, how long will I be sniffing and whatever it may be. But my spirit is still being fed. My spirit is still being fed.
And God can send. You might be sitting down. Someone might say, you know what, let me pray for you. They may pray for you. You may feel nothing. You may feel like,
Okay,
a
thanks.
Moment. Yeah, you know, okay, you know what?
Just
okay.
Polite.
But you know what? God's heard that person's prayer.
Absolutely.
On your behalf.
Absolutely.
And God knows. You know, I just had a picture in my head of the man who is paralyzed. And they take off the roof off of Peter's house, lower him down, the dust, the whatever it is off the roof, comes on, drops on Jesus' head or on his leg or whatever. And they look up and see this man coming down, carried by his friends, by his brethren, by his brothers. Sometimes we all need somebody to carry us through. We do. We do.
Wow. And there it is.
You know, I was just going to say that, you know, it's been fantastic. We absolutely hope that you were blessed. We absolutely hope that you take on board what was shared. If you are going through, if you are experiencing anything, please do reach out. Get in contact with somebody.
I've said this many times, that I believe that one of Satan's primary, his preferred weapon of choice is isolation.
Totally true.
He will cut you off. He'll put you aside. He will pull. He will say, don't go back. Don't talk. Don't come back. Don't plug in. You know, I think I've said it on the show before as well. You know, when he had that conversation with Eve, it wasn't a three-way conversation. It was a one-to-one with Eve. You know, when Peter denied Jesus, he wasn't with everybody else. When Moses killed the Egyptian, you know, he wasn't with, do you understand? When David committed adultery, he wasn't in the midst of counsel. You know, Satan uses isolation, and he he's been using it from the Garden of Eden. He's he's better at it than you. Listen, don't
true, even try that.
He is better at it than you. We just talked about Jesus now. And Jesus himself had people come to him. It's been a pleasure having you with us on the show. Please join us again next time for Being Mindful. God bless.
God bless you.